I want to ask you a question before we get started. Picture this. You're in this room. You can't get out. There's no chairs. There's nothing in this room. Just the walls, the concrete walls. And there's a man-eating lion in here. Just you and a man-eating lion. This lion is one of the biggest lions. Is one of the biggest lions. Vicious. He's ferocious. And he's real hungry. And he's used to eating people. What would you think? You'd think chances are pretty slim that you're going to survive, right? You're just wondering what he's going to do next. I was reading about lions, and they get to be about 650 pounds, and they can leap 21 feet. Just think, what a chance you would have. I think what I'd try to do is jump up there at that basket. That's the only chance I could see getting out of it. But let's say this basket wasn't up here. You couldn't slam dunk or nothing there, okay? You had to stay on level ground. You could pretty well kiss yourself goodbye, couldn't you? It's pretty hard to take on a hungry lion, a big one, 650 pounder. The Bible says that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the devil is like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. And you know, we'd be pretty scared if we seen that lion in here. But we should be more worried because there is a lion in here tonight, Satan. And we can't see him, but he's in here. He's amongst us all right now. And he's a lot more ferocious than the fleshly lion I just explained about. Because this lion is after your soul. And your soul is eternal. Your fleshly body is someday going to decompose anyways. It's only temporal. It's a temporary shell that houses your eternal soul. And the lion we're going to talk about tonight is Satan, that is after your soul, to devour your soul. And the devil wants to make things miserable. And we're going to talk about some of the tools that Satan uses. You know, Satan doesn't use teeth like a regular lion. He uses other things. And it's all one goal, to keep us from Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things that pull us away. A lot of false teachers, false prophets, that pull us away from God and to give us a false hope, a false peace, a false security, a false fulfillment of life. And sometimes it's too late. We never wake up and realize that all that was false. And by the time we figure it out, it may be too late. You're dead, you're gone, and Satan's won. Your soul is in hell. I want to talk about the tools of Satan tonight. The false teachers and the occults. You know, we just had a lot of things on the news and radio about the occults here recently, and that's why I decided tonight would be a good night to talk about that. Just recently, we all heard about Heaven's Gate, an occult out there that led many people astray. It gave them a false peace, a false security, a false fulfillment of life. And what did it get them? It got them death. They were deceived by Satan. This Applewhite fellow that was head of the cult, I would say he was a tool used by Satan to manipulate people. And they're on a one-way road. They aren't on a spaceship tonight, like that guy said. They're on a one-way trip to hell because they don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's a deceiving tool of Satan. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read some verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read this out of the Bible. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall look to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall turn to fables, to fairy tales, to lies. That's what the Bible's saying here. In the last days, people are going to turn away from the truth, from the Word, from the Bible, and believe these fables like UFOs, flying saucers, and a one-way trip to heaven through UFOs and aliens. You know, if I would tell you right now that I've been talking UFOs and I have these special powers and everybody should follow me, and some of the things you got to do to follow me is to have a backpack ready, because at a moment's notice, the aliens may come to beam us up. You got to have this backpack with you. Have it handy all the time. And if I told you everybody has to cut their hair short so everybody looks pretty much the same, and then I go on and tell you that you got to sell all you have and bring your money to me, and I also tell you you must not talk to your family members anymore unless it's to bring them into our little group. And then if I tell you that another big plus for this group would be for you fellas to castrate yourself, that would be another big plus to be in my group. And I go on and tell you all these lies, and then I tell you that now we're all going to kill ourselves because there's a UFO behind a comet that's coming by. It's right behind the comet. You can't see it. But there's a alien spacecraft, and I've been talking to these people, and if we all kill ourselves, we can get onto this spaceship out there. And, oh, by the way, another thing you have to do is, before you kill yourself, you must put $5.50 in your pocket, because that takes care of the airfare for the flying saucers. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's exactly what this guy told these people. And they all died. They did it. 39 people suckered into this. They were blinded by Satan. They were used. And now they're reaping the price because they didn't get into the Word of God. They listened to man. And there's other people out there. You've heard of Jim Jones? He led all these people astray. They sold their homes. They all moved down to South America. And 914 of them died. They were suckered in. And Satan loved every minute of it. And another one, you've heard of David Koresh. He professed to him to be his God. And he had his own little occult group. And over 80 of those people died. You know, the Bible isn't about death. The Bible I'm telling you about tonight is life. Jesus Christ. Eternal life, not eternal death. And you know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 13, verse 21 and 22. If then, if any man shall say to you, lo, there is Christ, or there he is over there, believe them not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And it says, even if it was possible, maybe even the Christians, it says, if it was possible. But think of the people that don't know Jesus Christ. They're going to really be deceived by the signs and the wonders that these people have. The Bible says they will have signs and wonders. Things that you kind of wonder, how can it be? How can this guy have this kind of power? And they'll follow him because they want that same type of power. The Bible says, beware, beware. And in every occult, they have a leader, and the followers believe that this man is usually appointed by God, or he is Christ reincarnated himself, or he has special powers. And that person's authority, the leader of the occult, must not, everything he says must be followed through by the T. You're supposed to do exactly what he says. He rules. And the cult members almost always quote everything the leader says as the final authority, the final word. These occult members don't want people reading their Bibles on their own. They want to sucker them into their own philosophies and twist the Word of God. The cult leaders usually use their intelligence, their charisma, their personality to impose their will and directives on the followers, to manipulate them. You know, a lot of people that go to these occults are looking for answers. They're looking for self-worth. They're looking for a place to belong. They're looking for somebody who will care about them. And they get suckered into these occults. Wow. There we lost power. We lost part of our power here. Okay, I'm going to have a harder time reading my notes, but here we go. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, verse 3 through 5. And as Jesus sat up on the Mount of Olives with the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of Thy coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed," He says, "look out, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That's what Christ is saying here. Watch out. Watch out. And then you have a group that the New Agers, they're called in most cases. They're saying, "You are God. I am God. We are all small little gods. And God is in every one of us. And we need to be one with the universe. And we need to have these crystals, these rocks called crystals, that give off power to us. And we need to get in these spiritual guides and channeling, talking to spirits, dead spirits. And they lead us astray. And they also tend to worship nature more than people. They think more value of nature than people. And in some extremes, you know, they're all worried about saving the whales, saving this, saving the trees, and they could care less about all the aborted babies every day. They get their priorities wrong. And I want to read in Romans what happens when these things happen. In Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 21, "Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of incorruptible God into images made like corruptible man and birds, and four-footed animals, and beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever." It's saying that people are going to worship nature more than the One who made nature. We need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the One that made all the earth, made all everything that's here. And it'd be crazy to say that evolution just evolved and there was no superior being involved. Everything has its place. It just didn't happen to be. You can see in nature that there is a God. "And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving that recompense that erred, which was fitting." So we got to remember, that when we draw away from God in the Word, it leads deeper and deeper into sin. And we need to stick with the Word of God. And there's other occults out there that say that Jesus was just a good man. Jesus is just a good teacher. And there's only one God, one Jehovah God. And they're missing what the Bible says. They change the Word of God and deceive many. Because the Bible says in 1 John 2:22, these people believe that Jesus was just a good teacher. And it says in 1 John 2:22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist that deceiveth the Father. That deceiveth the Father and the Son. Whoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that confesses the Son hath the Father also. And in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether it be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." See, the Bible says that there's more than one spirit. It says, believe not every spirit. If it's not preaching Jesus Christ, it's the spirit of the devil. It's the Antichrist. By this, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, of which ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already is in the world. Yes, we need to lean on Jesus Christ. And the people that say that Jesus Christ is not God, you got to remember these verses I'm just telling you. In 1 John 5:7. See, there's some that believe that there's just one Jehovah God, that Jesus is not God at all. But the Bible says in 1 John 5:7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one." The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these three are one. And you may ask me, well, how can three be one? You ever see an egg? An egg has three parts, doesn't it? There's the shell, the white part, and the yolk. That makes an egg. Those three parts are one. Same as water. Water can be a solid, a liquid, or a vapor. Water, when it's frozen, solid. Water, when it's just in its normal state, is a liquid. When it gets boiled, it's a steam. So water can be three different things. And that's the only way I can kind of explain Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one, and that's what the Word says. So that's what I'm going to believe. And there's other religions out there that add to the Bible or subtract to the Bible. Some of these religions say they have special visions from God, special revelations from God, and they write other books besides the Bible, and they spend more importance on these other books than the Word. We need to stick to the Word only. In Revelations chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, it says, "If any man add or subtract from the words of this book, he will be accursed." So you don't want to add or subtract to the Word. You want to stick to the basic Bible. You start doing that, you're in big trouble. And one other thing I want to tell you. Watch out for false teachers. Watch out for the occult. Stay away from fortune tellers, spirit guides, the crystals, witchcraft, seances, horoscopes, astrology. And I'm going to back that up with Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, "There shall not be found among you anyone who maketh his son or daughters pass through the fire, or who uses fortune tellers, or an observer of time, or a sorcerer, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter of mediums, which is spirits, or of wizards, or musicians. For all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord. And because of this abominations, the Lord thy God will drive them out from before thee. You're in big trouble when you get into that type of stuff. And then Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, it says, a man or a woman who is a fortune teller or a wizard shall surely be put to death. This is the word of God. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, it says, witchcraft is sin. In Micah chapter 5, verse 12, I'm going to read a few verses there. And I will cut off witchcraft out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more fortune tellers. Thy carved images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of thy midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the works of your hands. And I will pluck up the idols out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy the cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the nations, such as they have not heard, because of these sins. We need to stay away. God hates the demonic influence the occults and the false teachers have on people. He warns us over and over and over and over and over and over to stay away from these, to watch out. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Some of these people look innocent, and they're even toting a Bible, some of them. They're sheep. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to watch out. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, just because you tote a Bible, just because you say you have Jesus, these people here may not have Jesus. And right here I'm going to prove it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then, this is what the Lord will say, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Iniquity is sin, is wickedness. Just because they talk the talk doesn't mean you're walking the walk. We got to beware. And do you know some of these television evangelists you got to really watch out for? Some are preaching the word, some aren't. And some of them, I think, are just after your money. Some of them say, send in your seed of faith and you'll be blessed. Send in your money and you will get. Give to get. And that's not what the Bible says. And I want to read a verse they use in the Bible to get you to bring in your money. It's in Luke chapter 6. Yeah, they tote a Bible sometimes. They read Scripture sometimes, yeah. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you good measures, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give to you. So they're quoting that verse. They say, give so you can get. And it's totally contrary to the Word of God. You gotta read more than just that verse 38. You got to get up into the whole chapter there. I'm going to start reading a few verses up in verse 34. This is what the Lord really means with that verse. You got to read all of it. It says, and if you give to them who you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also give to sinners so they can receive as much as they gained. But love your enemies and do good and give, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great. The Bible says, give out of love. If you're giving money to the church, you should be giving money to the church because your church is preaching the Bible, because your church is telling people about Jesus Christ. You give out of love, and then it shall be given you. You can read that verse, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will happen. It's the Word of God. When you give out of love, give out of concern for the gospel. The Bible doesn't teach give to get. It's a caring, it's a loving thing. And a lot of these ministries today, if they would read the verses I just read, give, expect nothing in return, those ministries wouldn't be in business any longer because people wouldn't be given because they're not preaching the Bible. All they're saying is send in your money, send in your seed of faith so you can give, so you can get blessed. It's a selfish ministry. You're given; those people are given so they can get. They're not given because the guy's preaching Jesus Christ. So we got to watch out for that. And the best way to know a counterfeit is to know the real thing. You need to get into Word yourself. Know the real Bible. That's the only way you're going to know the real thing. The Bible says in John 8:32, it says, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says in Luke 11, verse 9, seek and ye shall find. Seeking the Word. Seeking the Word. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto those who put their trust in Him. A shield. He's a shield against that roaring lion, Satan. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the tricks and the lures of the devil. Put on the full armor of God. And to put on the full armor of God is memorizing the Word. Getting in prayer. That will make you spiritually fit. You know, these bodybuilders, to get physically fit, they got to pump that iron all the time. They got to eat the right food, and they got to do the right exercises to pump up, to get big. We need to do that more so spiritually. We need to be pumped up spiritually by reading the Word, meditating, praying, so you'll be able to withstand the tricks of the devil. Maybe the devil's tearing you up now, and some of his tricks to make your life miserable might be drugs. He knows your weak point. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be sex, pornography, violence. Maybe he's saying you're not worth anything. Maybe he's saying life isn't worth living to you. He has a lot of tricks to mess us up. He wants to make everybody think they're a nobody. Nobody cares. He wants to make you miserable. He wants you to commit suicide. He loves every second of it when he makes you miserable. He loves it when people commit suicide. But you know, God wants you to know that there's hope. There's Jesus Christ. I'm going to hit you with some Bible verses. Romans 5:8. God gives us hope. But God commended His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in John 3:16, which a lot of you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the world might be saved. We need to come to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's one of my favorite ones. And I know that for a fact because He changed my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is one to remember. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can get rid of all that load, all that past sin, all the messing up in the past. Behold, everything becomes new. You're a new person, new creatures. The load of sin is gone when we come to Jesus Christ. And you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior here tonight, another verse that I like is Revelation 3:20. Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." He's knocking on the door of your heart tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ, He's here. He wants you to yield to Him. He's standing at that door and knock. But it's up to you to open that door and allow Him to come in. Jesus Christ loved us so much, He didn't program us like a bunch of robots. He gives us our free choice and free will. He doesn't program us and say, "You have to follow me." He loved us so much, He gave us that choice to accept Him or reject Him. Even on that cross with His arms open wide, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." No greater love ever shown. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's no flying saucers, no gurus or whatever. It's only through Jesus Christ. And listen to this. Think on this. Mark 8:36. "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, all the cars, all the wealth, all the fancy homes, and loses his own soul?" What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And I'm going to tell you, a couple tools Satan's going to be using tonight, right now. There's a couple of them. One of them's pride. I'm going to give an altar call. If anybody wants to come up here except Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, one of His tools He's going to use on you tonight is pride. "Oh, I don't want to go up there. What will everybody think?" He'll use that. Or another tool He'll use. "I got tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow." You know, tomorrow may never come. That's a couple tools. So don't be afraid to come up and stand for Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for us. We can at least get up here and confess Him as Lord and Savior of our lives. In Matthew 10:32 and 10:33, He says, "If we confess Him before men, He will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny Him before men, He will deny you before His Father which is in heaven." There's no beating around the bush, being a secret Christian. You can leave here knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you want to come up here tonight, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now's the time. I got some booklets here, knowing God personally too. But I'll have a word of prayer with you, show you how you can become a Christian today. It's not what I'm saying, it's what the Word of God says. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Thank You, kind Heavenly Father, for all those that came out here tonight to get into Your Word, to know more about You. Please, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's not for sure they're on their way to heaven, never asked You into their heart for forgiveness of sin, tug on their heart now. Please, Lord, let them open their heart to You. And if there's other brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight that aren't living for You, not being a light for You, please tug on their heart too, that they need to get right. They need to get away from the sinful habits, and they need to live totally for You, to be a light wherever they go, whatever they do, whatever they say, let it glorify You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.